On a lighter note and more relevant, it's going to be the 10-year anniversary of Force Awakens next year.
Yes, yes it is, and we will bring that up.
And I'm turning into fucking dust like fucking Walter Donovan. Jesus
Christ. You are not. Stop it. Fine.
Sold. Maggie.
I can't.
Maggie, penny candy only cost a nickel.
I want some penny candy. Here's your nickel back. This is how you remind me.
And that's what old people like, is Werther's.
That's right.
This is Phil Lamar, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
I hate the days we live in.
Mm-hmm. Me too. All right.
Close anyway, myself.
Wake up.
Force Awakens.
Wake up.
Yeah, come on, Force, wake up. You fucker.
That was too forceful. All right.
Damn it. My nose is starting.
Don't. Come on now. Nose, get with the Force. All right. There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm, of course, THN Mike, and joining me once again, as always, Mr. Dave Draper. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Mike. Great.
Yay.
Can't complain.
Well, we could, but it doesn't help, unfortunately.
Yeah, you can, but then you sound ungrateful.
Yeah. Well, you'd sound ungrateful, but also it doesn't really help. Like, I don't know.
It helps a little. I mean, it's like, I don't know. It helps helps relieve stress. It's like a stress valve sometimes if you complain. I guess my thing is I've told people, like, just let me grumble a little bit and I'll get over it and it'll be fine. Because people get, like, so wound up if you, like, this is, you know, if you get annoyed in a situation. Mm-hmm. It's like, just let me grumble. It's a bad situation. It's fine. I'll blow off some steam, and then I'll be fine. It's okay.
Absolutely, absolutely. Today we head once again to a galaxy far, far away. That's right, we continue the 12 months of Star Wars Spotlight as we make our way back to the Skywalker saga for today.
Is a Skywalker in this movie? Oh, I guess technically. Spoiler alert for like 5 seconds at the end.
This movie is 9 years old. Do we really need a spoiler warning?
It's the interwebs. Somebody will complain.
That's true. That's sad, but true.
Kylo Ren dies at the end. Sorry. Dies in the third movie. Spoiler.
The Jedi were real.
I used to wonder about that myself. Thought it was a bunch of mumbo jumbo. A magical power holding together good and evil, the dark side and the light. Crazy thing is, it's true. The Force, the Jedi, all of it, it's all true.
He can't see it, folks, and you can't see it, and I don't think you can hear it, but I'm shaking my head because, damn. Oh, boy. I wish he would have died in this movie, actually.
You know, he's the only good thing about the... Well, okay, that's unfair. He's the best thing about this series. This three, I think so. Right, let's get going. We're talking about The Force Awakens.
Yep.
The Force Awakens. J.J. Abrams with his mystery box. Fresh off the Star Treks.
Yep.
It's all Mike Stuckless's fault. Because in the Red Letter Media Plinkett review of Star Trek 2009, he said... You know, that Abrams guy, he should be directing a Star Wars movie instead of Star Trek. And they did.
I like Star Trek 2009.
It works player, way better than it had any right to.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Starring Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, the Trinity of Star Wars, Adam Driver, Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac. Andy Serkis, Anthony Daniels, Peter Mayhew, may he rest in peace.
Yeah.
Also, folks, we don't want to really bury the lead on this one. We are recording this after the news of James Earl Jones passing. We will do a larger segment on him at the end of the show when we do the closing, but very, very sad. Yes, he was 93. Yes, he lived a good long life, but it's still sad. There's
you got that in very quick before I got to say it.
That's right. Got to be quicker out here.
I guess I'll
here.
Put my party hats away then and back in the fridge. Jeez.
Well, you know, the party hats.
Can't celebrate someone's death. I mean, what's the point?
They celebrate their life. That's the difference.
I know. I know.
So, wait a minute. If this is 30 years after Endor, then where does...
Dude, we will get there. Like, I have... one of my biggest complaints is the fact that this takes place 30 years after the original trilogy. And like, you almost wouldn't know that. Aside from the fact that all the classic characters are butt old.
Yeah. Yeah. So did you first see I'm assuming.
I saw it in the theaters. I saw it in 3D, which is weird because there's a shot that I remember being in 3D that was really cool of the Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
I didn't notice it this time around. So.
Is it when the Falcon first flies by?
No, I thought it was at the very beginning. There's that shot of the Star Destroyer flying into Jakku. But it's all in shadow in the version I saw.
Yeah, I think they had to do that because maybe back then, and I don't know, folks, I'm not looking at any information about this. I'm speculating. I'm spreading rumors, whatever you want to say. But... I think the reason why it was all in shadow on the Disney Plus version is because maybe it was exclusively released as a 3D film, and there is no – I mean, there are 3D TVs, and there are 3D glasses that you can use and whatever, but generally –
I don't think that's it. I think I might just be, like, remembering a later shot and just getting them confused because one of the things that we're probably going to get to, we might as well get to it now, is I realized I had never watched this film. This is the second time I've watched this film in 10 years. Like, and that's just
same.
Like, I mean, by the time 1987 rolled around, I am not exaggerating. I probably saw A New Hope 200 times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because once I got it on video, like, I don't know, it's like my horrible. We hooked up our Betamax VCRs together. Rented the movies, and I had a horrible blobby copy that like saw me through college, man.
Yep.
It was like, oh look, the characters have definition and details, like, because it really is like my copy was just like this vague blur is Han Solo and this vague blur is Luke and that big brown blur is probably Chewbacca, I think.
Probably.
But I would watch those in college, man, because that's what I had. Because apparently back in those days, videos were not priced to own.
No, and they were not.
My mother did not like spending money. So I think one of the biggest fights I ever got in was trying to get a copy of Star Wars on VHS. Did not happen. But like I said, we hooked up me and my buddy Chris, we hooked up our VCRs, and this was like 40 years ago. The statute of limitations has probably expired.
Yeah, it's Betamax. Allegedly. Coming after you.
Yeah, well, also, yeah, it's Betamax. I mean, I don't
even... Like, nobody's coming after you for Betamax.
Yeah, I had a Betamax.
It
was superior video quality. You know, for years afterwards, like, the actual cameras used Betamax. Professionals used Betamax. Well, anyway.
I was wrong. It was not 10 years for me. It was more like... 7, 8?
Oh,
Hold on. Well, because we did.
Because you didn't watch in the theaters, did you?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, okay, well then.
Hold on. Let me do the math on this. 28.
I mean, does it matter the math? No. Like, you've seen it twice. This is the third time you've seen it.
No, this is the second time I've seen it.
Okay, now I'm getting annoyed.
No. 2017.
You just said you saw it in theaters.
Right.
Oh, came out 2015.
I don't know. No, I saw it on whatever it was on at the time. I forget. 2017 is when I saw the film for the first time. I did not see it in theaters.
Oh, maybe they re-released it for the second one, Last Jedi.
Probably. When did Last Jedi come out?
They were every other year. So okay. It would have been 17.
Okay. Well, either way, we did a podcast in 2017, Star Wars: The Force Awakens Inside Rogue One. This is the one I was telling you of this podcast episode I told you about when we redid when you and I did Rogue One.
Yeah.
This is that. So we did these two movies together because Rogue One had come out or whatever it did at the time. It was all on media. I don't know. But essentially, this is my second time seeing Force Awakens in the last 7 years. And I don't know how you feel about it, and you'll obviously tell me in a minute, but I see everybody's like, oh my god, it's just a copy of 77. It's not a full-on direct copy.
No, it's not
77
a full-on copy.
77 did not have a stormtrooper defecting, okay?
No.
But some people have tried to say that it's essentially...
Well, I mean, the basic plot is that there's a thing in the droid that will...
Right.
That the bad guys want, and then there's a giant planet-killing base that they've got to blow up at the end. I mean, the broad strokes are Star Wars. It's that the new group of characters are, well, Finn is probably the most different character of the bunch. And also, like, I will say so here's the thing, because there's the narrative when Star Wars fans found out there was a black man in the movie, they were angry. And I'm like, Lando Calrissian? Billy Dee Williams?
Yeah, exactly.
I think I've said on other shows, I'm a huge fan of the movie Attack of the Block, which stars John Boyega. He was amazing in that movie. And he wasn't funny at all. Like, the weird thing about Force Awakens was how funny Boyega is. Because, he is, super intense in Attack of the Block. But, when I heard that he was cast, I literally fist bumped. I was like, yes! I was so excited for him. And the idea that he played a former stormtrooper is interesting. Mm-hmm. And they just – it's not as – the thing about the first movie, watching it the second time, is almost the good stuff bothered me more than the bad stuff.
Okay.
Because I know where it's going, which is nowhere. And so it became frustrating. Like, all the little details, all the little things that were like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, you know that it's in service of nothing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the fact that his character goes nowhere, gets no development, basically spends the entire trilogy mooning after Rey, doesn't become a Jedi. Like they've kind of hinted that he might have Force powers. Like supposedly he was going to tell her in the third film, but he never gets around to it because, you know, The third film is a whole clusterfuck that we'll get to when we get to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, to me, I'm angry that they did nothing with that character. To get on the record right now, I think Abrams is a good director. I think Abrams is a brilliant casting director. I think all the people in that film, Oscar Isaac, Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, and even the guy who plays Kylo Ren. They're all good actors.
Adam Driver.
They give good performances in this movie. Abrams is a good director. He's not a good writer.
Yeah.
He's not an original writer. And he's got that whole obsession with the mystery box thing, which kneecaps this movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, the new characters could have been good. And I will actually fight with diehard Star Wars fans because they're all like, oh, well, they focused on the new characters instead of the old characters. That's what they should have done. This should have been the handoff movie.
Yep.
You had the old characters come in and they do their thing and then they hand it off to the new characters. And part of the problem was they never quite did that. They always kind of kept we'll bring the old characters back all the way through. And it's like, nah, you shouldn't do that. It should be the new trilogy, the new characters, the new Star Wars. Like I said, you bring in the old characters as a sign of respect, as to give them their stories closure, and they didn't do that. Like, that was another big mistake the movie made, was that, there's even a line about it, where it's like, I just went back to what I know what to do, and then she says, yeah, we all did. And it's like, yeah, you all reset to who you were in Star Wars. Boring. Except for Luke. Mm-hmm. Who went crazy and went off to a planet ball by himself.
Exactly.
Which is what Yoda did when he failed. So, you know, it's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm winding down. You want to just keep going?
Keep going. So we got, So I don't hate the movie. I don't need, like, the only, well, a lot of people are like, I will always make this joke just because of the title, The Farce Awakens.
Wow.
It has nothing to do with the actual, it's just force, farce, whatever.
Yeah,
it's wordplay.
Wordplay.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with the content of the movie. The only thing for me in this movie, as I was taking notes, and we will continue to go through the plot here and whatever else, but, like, I take bullet point notes as I'm watching the movie. So, opening crawl, yay! Okay, sure, fine.
But you go back a little. No 20th Century Fox.
No,
that made me sad. That always bothered me. Made me very sad that there wasn't the dun 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 dun.
Yep. Yeah.
And they did that, and because I know you're not a big fan, they did that in Alien Romulus.
Mm.
So I'm like, what the hell, Disney? Oh, wait, they didn't have it back then.
Yeah, they didn't have it back then.
They didn't have it back then. Never mind. Emily Lotilla. Never mind.
The stormtroopers on the ship. The first shot
that
we get
of the sequence.
Yeah, it was a cool sequence. It was a great sequence. It was awesome. And I'm going to put this here because it'll come up later once we have the reveal of Mr. FN-2817 or 2187 or whatever the hell his name is. Why can they just call him TK-421 or 422? Anyway.
They wanted to turn it into Finn. They wanted to give
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. So the stormtroopers. The stormtroopers specifically, not the clone troopers, not the Bad Batch, not Captain Rex. None of that stuff. The stormtroopers. Were they? They were actual people in the original trilogy, right? In the suit? Like,
there is debate.
Okay, well, I don't know.
There's a version of the special editions where Tamara Morrison re-recorded all the stormtrooper lines.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah. But they also say that they were actual people, but I actually have an ancient. Like
laser disc.
No, Empire Strikes Back era magazine.
Okay.
Stormtroopers were clones.
Okay.
Which I thought I imagined that. And then I found it one day. I'm like, oh my God, I was right along. So, but it goes back and forth about whether or not the Stormtroopers were clones or actual people. In this movie, they are. There's a line of dialogue about using clones and they're kidnapped it from birth and trained to be Stormtroopers. And that becomes a thing in the third film, sort of.
Oh boy, here we go. All right. My point is, at one point or another, they were clones that were controlled by the Empire completely.
I don't think there's like that much difference. They were conditioned. They were trained. And the point is that the new stormtroopers were trained and conditioned. Because that's a minor plot point. Is FN was supposed to be transferred to Captain Phasma to be reconditioned, to be retrained, because his conditioning didn't hold. And what's his name? Hux is like, oh, all my troopers maintain their conditioning and
they're
all perfectly trained.
No, they're not. I wasn't sure if I remembered wrong or forgot right or forgot left or something about something. And I'm not talking about the future. I'm not talking about the Death Troopers because those are specifically robots. I'm not talking about that. I thought at one point or another that all of the stormtroopers were just all of the copies of Rex or all of the copies of whatever, not counting the Bad Batch ones.
Again, obviously. It goes back and forth.
Like, depending on what
era you're talking about, depending on who's doing the writing.
Yeah.
I used to believe that they were actual robots because if you look at the little thing on their back, their backpack, it kind of looks like it spills oil.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I just wanted to bring that up because, like I said before,
it is a very minor plot point in this movie. They do make a point of saying that they are individual people and that clones were an option.
Yes.
That the problem is that doesn't extend backwards to specifically one way or the other.
Right.
I always thought I personally know there's a cut of the special edition where Tamara Morrison re-recorded everybody's lines, all the Stormtroopers' lines. I know that exists.
Yeah.
So take that for what it is.
Mm-hmm. At least it's not Tatooine yet.
Isn't it? It's Jakku.
It's Jakku.
It's a completely different desert planet.
Exactly. how many desert planets you got in this galaxy far, far away.
Well, I mean, there'd be a lot of them. I get that. But, like, just that we automatically go back to a desert planet. I mean, look, my take on this movie was that it was a big it was the prequels were weird and people didn't connect with them, so they were doing a hard reset, and they were basically like, this is the this, and I gave this movie a lot of slack until the second movie, because it was just basically, it was supposed to bring the normies back, which it did.
Yeah. Which you did.
It was just, it was supposed to be familiar, because that was one of the biggest criticisms of the prequels. Was everything looked different. Everything didn't look like it fit in the same universe. And I think part of that was that, you know, Coruscant isn't Tatooine. Coruscant is a, you know, a big civil, like a city planet. It's, it, you know, everything there is supposed to be shiny. And part of it was also supposed to be that it was earlier, so everything was shiny and new. And it got, I think this was another thing that Red Letter Media pointed out, was that what should have happened is by the third film, everything should have looked dirty and rusty and falling apart.
Yeah,
before it taken its toll, which they didn't do, but people complained that everything was too pretty and too clean and too, it didn't look like Star Wars. So this movie was going to kind of like redo Star Wars to get people back into it, and then the next couple of films were theoretically going to take the ball and run with it.
When we get to the next film, I'm going to have to look into why JJ did not come back for the next.
Didn't want to. It was the plan was he would do one. Ryan, whatever his name is, will do the second one. And then Colin Trevorrow, who was doing the Jurassic World films, was supposed to do the third one.
Oh, really? Wow.
And Colin and J.J. Abrams had a plan.
Uh-huh.
Ryan was like, well, that's nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Ryan did what Ryan wanted to do, which is why when we get there, I kind of love The Last Jedi. But part of my love for that, particularly initially, was based on an erroneous belief that everybody knew what they were doing. Which we will find out when we get to the third film, was absolutely not true. But there is an element of Last Jedi that I absolutely fucking adore, and we'll get to why in this episode. There is a reason.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons.
Yeah. So what the fuck kind of food is that? I bet it doesn't.
Oh, I don't know, but that was like cool, wasn't it? Like that's an actual practical effect. Like one of the, again, Abrams was big on practical effects. He just put the stuff in and it blooms up. It's neat.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, there's a lot of neat little, like the details are neat.
Yeah, the details are neat. The fact that she got shafted every time she went to the guy isn't
and
neat.
And it's weird because he was the guy, like, it's implied in that one flashback that he raised her.
Yeah.
Like when her mysterious family abandons her, it's Onkar Plutt, played by Simon Pegg, who's like, come on, girl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's my shit. We'll get to that. Yeah. We will get to all the nostalgia porn that's in this movie, and I'm not saying
the Millennium Falcon was absolutely like.
Oh well, yes.
The one thing I will not fault them for is having the Falcon.
Absolutely, the Falcon and the X-wings.
No.
What?
It's 30 years later.
Uh huh.
It's like. Dude, they would have new ships.
Okay, yeah, but
they had new ships in the fucking original trilogy. By Return of the Jedi, they had B-Wings and A-Wings.
Yeah, but the X-Wing just looks the best.
I don't care. Like, make something else. Like, it just, it, that is absolutely, like, even though the design is neat, I like, the design would be neat if that ship was in Mandalorian, because that would be, like, 10 years later.
Yeah.
It's 30 years later, they needed a new ship. I hate that they had X-Wings. I'm not a big fan of the fact that they had TIE Fighters, but, like, I think that fits with the fact that the First Order had this sort of, like, Empire fetish. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of okay with that. But it was just, like you wonder why, you know, wonder, but, like, why people keep going, oh, it's just the first film over again. It's got the same fucking ships.
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree.
Like, one of the great things about the prequels is that they had new shit. Like, I love the new, like, I love the ARC 170. I love the, I can't remember what it's called, but the Jedi TIE Fighter that kind of, the Jedi Fighter that kind of looks like a TIE Fighter.
Yep, yeah.
You know? I love the N1. We talked about that with Mandalorian. He gets an N1. I'm like, that was one of my favorite prequel designs. You know, and I love the ARC 170 has, like, it's like a little prototype X-Wing, because it's got, like, the little foils. Like, it was new stuff. And even in, like, Rogue One, they had, like, the U-Wing. You know, which I love. I love the new stuff. Like, why just And I know why, because it's everybody knows what an X-Wing is. Yay, X-Wings! And then the Empire will have, I mean, the First Order, whoops, will have Stormtroopers, and it'll have AT-ATs, and it'll have TIE Fighter. Just, I have Star Wars. I have Star Wars on, like, 5 different copies. I've got it on 2 different, I've got it on beta. Still, I've still got that blobby beta. I've got it on 2 different versions of VHS. I've got, like, 2 different versions, I think 3 different versions of it on DVD. I've seen Star Wars. I want to see something in that universe that connects with it, but that is a little bit different. Like, showing me X-Wings again, I was just like, that was one of the things that I hated the most about the movie was the X-Wings.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I believe, at least on this movie alone, I will probably say this again in the next episode and in the episode after that when we do the other two movies, I believe the sequel trilogy was not for you. I believe the sequel trilogy was for Star Wars to make money to get the normies back in.
What movie isn't made to make money?
Okay, but I'm saying, like, they wanted the new money.
I understand that. But that's also a weakness of the film. Like you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there had never been a John Wick before, and suddenly there was a John Wick, and it was like, oh, hey, this is great. Like, there had never been a Star Wars before 1977, and suddenly they were like, this is amazing. I mean, yes, it was based on a bunch of, like, it synthesized a bunch of pre-existing things. My point is, yeah, I understand that they played it super safe to bring in the normies.
Right.
I get that. But that also rebounds to the detriment of the film.
Well, I think my point is, like, they could, like... Okay, so they didn't have a super major space battle. Like, the battle is really on the planet between yes. the X-Wings and the TIE Fighters, for the most part. They could have had new ships having... So this, to me, reminds me literally of, at this point, 40-plus years ago, of Jedi, where... You're up here doing your job. We're down here on the ground doing our job. Like the split up of the team kind of thing. Like where...
And Phantom Menace, where mm-hmm. that was a four-way.
Yeah.
We're up here doing our job and yep. Jedi are fighting and then yep. Amidala's doing her thing and then there's Operation yeah. Gungan Shield.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I know what you said. That's not what I heard. Okay. Because I'm like, no, Jar Jar, don't put your tongue in that shield.
Well, no, I said Gungan shield. Like,
I know you said, but human shield. I know, but there's no
I'm kind of ripping off South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut.
There you go.
You guys will all be Wave 1, Operation Human Shield.
That's right. So, I mean, if there were newer ships, like, up in space doing the fighting, sure, fine. But I still like seeing the stuff. And really, like, what other new ship? What other new design?
We'll never know.
No, I know we'll never know at this point because it's done. But I'm just saying, like...
Well, they put the E-Wings in Ahsoka. And even though, like, it's weird because I hated the original design when it was in Dark Empire. And I kind of... They kind of look good in real life.
Yeah.
Which means they had E-Wings.
Yeah.
So, did. Like...
They had them. They didn't
But Ahsoka came out way after that, so you can't really hold Force Awakens to that canonically.
Yep.
Look, I'm just saying, as a Star Wars fan, this is a thing that bothered me, is that mm-hmm. it was, and I think one of the criticisms, even from normies, is that it relied too much on nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it didn't pave anything new.
Yeah. If he's with the Resistance, monkeys might fly out of my butt. He's such a bad liar.
Well, that's the joke. He's like,
I know.
He's supposed to be a funny character.
Yeah, you know. I love how the ship that they want to go to, which, hello, we knew this was going to happen. The ship they want to take gets blown up. The garbage will do.
It's a cute reveal for the Falcon.
Yeah.
And I was paying attention to try to see if you could see it in the background. I don't think I ever spotted it kind of just haphazardly. And it was covered with some kind of tarp, too.
Yeah, that tarp took entirely too long after they took off to fall off the ship. But yeah, and I'm not stating that. I'm not taking that off his points or anything, but I like how the two, I like how both of them, Rey and Finn, she's trying to fly the ship, navigate the ship, and he's trying to use, be the gunner. I like how they're like, I can do this. Like, yes. You know.
Okay.
Like,
okay. That reminds me, cause you skipped the character, which is BB-8.
Yes.
And like my whole point about the X-Wings, BB-8 is a perfect 30-year later version of an astromech.
Yep.
Like I love BB-8 design-wise, conceptually. That looks like 30 years have passed and there's a new kind of astromech, a new version of R2.
Yep.
Like, and that's my point. And like they didn't go, well, we got to make them an R2 unit because everybody knows what R2 units are. So like, why couldn't they do that with the ships?
True. Very true. Very true. Okay, so we guess, and I know, and my notes skip all over the place. I can go back to the Wikipedia. And we can go through this line by line.
We skipped over Von Sydow, Max von Sydow, like was in the movie, which was cool, but they didn't do anything with them.
Yeah,
like, he's basically just there to like give the map and then like give a little bit of hint at who Kylo Ren is. There is the little things are cool. There's a moment where Kylo Ren freezes, like Poe shoots at him and he freezes the blaster bolt.
Yep.
And that's a great moment because that makes the audience go, oh shit, even Vader never did that.
Yeah.
Like,
and that thing stays, so he must really be, squinting his eyes to stay concentrated to keep that blaster bolt frozen as long as it was.
Yes. but that was a cool detail, and it was storytelling without belaboring it or without you know, like visual storytelling. This guy stopped a blaster bolt. He must be a badass, which is funny because later on at the end, when the famous iconic scene when, you know, the lightsaber's in the snow and he's reaching out to it,
mm-hmm.
and then Rey gets it, like that takes way too long. Like, you would think a guy that can stop a blaster bolt would be able to like yank that out of the snow immediately.
But I think what they were trying to do was to show that because he, as a character,
they were trying to make it dramatic, dude. That's the whole thing.
No, they were trying to make it dramatic so she would get it, absolutely. But also by that point in the movie, he is so conflicted between.
Is he? I thought the whole point after killing Han was that he had Clary.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, like.
Because that's the whole thing, is like the sun is being drained and he's like, please help me, Dad. And then the last light fades and then he's in the darkness. And again, like, that's actually kind of cool. Like, yeah, and then he's completely in darkness and then he chooses to murder Han.
Yeah.
I don't like that Han got killed, but like that the way they did that was actually really good, I thought. I think
that was very good.
Very well directed.
Yes.
And like, again, like I to jump ahead, I love the bit like Han, like Chewie shoots him and he's wounded through the whole fight with Rey and Finn. Yeah. I love that little detail where he's constantly punching the wound, like making himself angry, like to like, you know, to it's like a tick to like get him to like tap into the dark side or something. It's just, it's a little detail, like his lightsaber. I love that it spritz and fritzes and doesn't seem to work quite right. You know, little details are great.
So I don't remember what I said on the other podcast 7 years ago, and that's the thing. Like, to bring up your point about the lightsaber and how it's kind of all over the place, is because no matter at what point, whether it's the point that he chooses to be the dark side or not, that lightsaber is never a straight blade.
No,
I don't think. I'm pretty sure
it's janky. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So. I think the reason why it is that way is the same thing I said a second ago, is that he is still torn between being Ben Solo and Kylo Ren. He is still torn between, I think if he had fully gone to the dark side, his lightsaber would have literally gotten more solid and less looking like a bad kindergartner's drawing.
I know what you're saying. I kind of like, I mean, the lightsaber is a visual representation of his
emotions.
His emotions. But like, I think it would have been weird if like suddenly he got clarity and then the lightsaber like cleaned up. Like to me, it's like when he built it, his emotions were
right.
And obviously he never completely, I mean, obviously at the very end he decides, like in the last film he decides, but like, yeah, I get it, but like, no, I mean, yeah, it's a nice detail. Like that's, again, all these things would maybe go, well, that's a neat detail, but it's in service of a mid-plot that goes nowhere overall.
Yeah, and that's the sad, unfortunate part about a lot of the sequel trilogy. And again, I do not remember the only, and again, this is me and with nostalgia and taking a photo of Funko Pops in front of my computer monitor X number of years ago when The Last Jedi came out. I had went to whatever, I think it was GameStop or wherever. I got the Han Solo, I got the Lando, and I think Chewie's over here somewhere from that. Or maybe that was from Solo, I forget. Anyway, the point is that I had Han, Chewie, and Lando as Funko Pops. I still have them. And I took a picture of Last Jedi when the AT-ATs show up in the sunset.
Yeah.
So that's what I remember about The Last Jedi, because I haven't seen it since that moment. Again, that's why I like going to into a lot of this stuff fresh with the Star Wars stuff. And this movie, but I like having a character that doesn't know where his emotions lie. Is he loyal to this fake Emperor hologram bullshit?
That broke, like, when I realized that was a hologram the first time I saw the movie, that broke my heart. That broke my heart, because that would have been, like, cool if he'd been, like, a giant, you know? But it was like, oh, he's just a hologram. Oh.
Yeah.
And who is this guy, Snoke? Because Snoke is a stupid name. Like, I mean, to be fair, that's a long Star Wars tradition.
Yeah.
Like, Dooku. But, like one of the things I always have an issue with this movie is when Leia goes, Snoke seduced our son. That's like, that's a line of dialogue that should have been rewritten.
I mean, so if I remember, because I looked it up on Wikipedia, because Wikipedia.
Well, you can't trust that. That changes every 5 minutes.
Oh.
Sorry, I should not make a joke about this. Fighting among Star Wars fans.
Yes, yes, yes. But like Snoke is supposed to be a hologram of eventually when the Emperor comes back, correct?
No. Like, there's an actual physical Snoke. It's a puppet. It's a puppet.
That's right.
Snoke is a puppet of the Emperor. The Emperor is puppeting the physical body of Snoke, which is sending a hologram.
That's what it is.
Because he's in the Union.
That's what it is. He's puppeting him, which puppeting. Sounds. Somebody call Jeff Dunham, please. exactly. And I think that's why it had to be a hologram. And I also think the hologram is go ahead.
Yes, in retrospect.
Yeah, but we didn't know
it. I'm sitting there in theaters in 2015. And frankly, considering that we know they didn't have a frickin' road plan that they took seriously, it could have been a giant. That would have been... It would have been neat, because it would have contrasted with Yoda.
Yeah.
It was very small and very calm, very, very one with the Force. And then the bad guys are big, because power is big and it shows off and it, you know, shoves its shoulders around and it's, you know, oh, look at me, I'm big and strong. And, you know, it would have been a nice visual contrast, because the hologram obviously has to be big to be intimidating.
Yeah.
You want to actually have the character be big. And he is tall, like he's taller than a normal human. I have the action figures, but I was disappointed. I was disappointed because I was like, oh, he's a giant. And like, no, it's a hologram.
It's a hologram. That's right.
but I remember thinking, wow, I can't wait to learn the interesting backstory behind this fascinating new character. This guy who's taken up the Emperor's reins. What will his deal be?
He's a puppet of the Emperor.
Womp, womp.
He's the Dooku of the sequel trilogy.
To be fair, you know what? You say that, now my attitude has changed slightly, because to be fair, Lucas loved to introduce interesting characters and then just sort of job them off.
Yep.
Like they were nothing. Yep. So that sort of fits.
Job Abrams, there you go.
Well, Abrams didn't do it. Like that's...
No.
When we get there, that's one of my favorite moments. Again, the thing you'll hear over and over again when we talk about Last Jedi is, I just assumed they had a plan.
Yeah.
Which is why I love stuff that, like, stuff would happen. I'd be like, oh, that's amazing. I can't wait to see where they go with that. And where they went with that was like, oh my God, I can't believe he did that. Like, the people behind the scenes were like, he put all the toys in the driveway and he ran over them and crushed them. What do we do now? Like, Because at the time, I thought, oh, they know what they're doing, and they're going to deal with this, and this is this. And instead, you know, Rise of Skywalker is this horrible mess where they're trying to undo everything that happened in Last Jedi and also finish the story. But when I was watching Last Jedi, I was just like, this is great. This is anarchy. This is they blew up. First of all, they blew up all the fucking X-Wings. And I was like, yes. Now they'll have to have a new ship. You know, they killed a bunch of characters. They killed a bunch of the nostalgia characters. And I was like, oh, that's kind of sad. But also, they'll have to have new characters.
Yep. Talking about Kylo Ren again, and I know we'll talk a little bit more about Rey in a little bit, but angry children should not have lightsabers when they receive bad news. Oh my God.
That's a great scene where he lashes out and freaks out, and the stormtroopers are walking down the corridor and they look at each other and like, yeah.
Nope. We're just going to back up. Yep. Back away slowly. Apparently,
ironically, this would get more play now than it did back then, but apparently the story is he was inspired somewhat by actual Star Wars fans who sort of get emotional about things.
Yes. Surprising that. I just think they did it one too many times. Like him doing the
thing. I think they did it enough.
Okay. I don't know.
Because he only has that one. He has two freakouts in the movie.
Okay. Yep. All right. That second one, though, I would say if the stormtroopers didn't do that, was it the first one or the second one? If the stormtroopers didn't do that, I would have said it was too much. But because they did,
Perfect because that lets you know that he does it all the time.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. If that wasn't there, it would be like, why are you just doing that? Let's talk about Rey before I get into, because basically the next seven notes I have are just nothing but Han porn.
Okay.
All right, I'll run through these. Chewie, we're home. Yeah, I know.
That line was a trailer line.
Yes, but that line if that line wasn't a trailer line, this movie wouldn't have made the billions of dollars that it made. Yeah, I knew him. I knew Luke. The same thing I always do. I talk my auto it. Yes, I do every time.
Every single time.
Jesus, I've got a bad feeling about this. It's not how I thought this day was gonna go. It's true. All of this was another trailer line, I think. It's true. All of it. The Sith, the Jedi, the Force.
And that's weird. It's weird that they treat it like this myth.
And I know you know this, Mr. I have every Star Wars toy ever, and I know it all. He was always a skeptic, right?
Yes, he was. And he says that. He says, I didn't believe in it either.
I didn't believe in it either, but it's true, all of it. So he's finally
It's a good moment for Han. It's one of the few times that Han gets to be 30 years later Han, as opposed to New Hope Han.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I like it. All right, Rey. Oh, boy. I like
the problem with Rey in this movie is that she's a blank, like, it's hard to criticize her because there are two more movies to come and you don't know. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like this is their introduction. And Luke wasn't really that developed in the first movie either. So
Yeah, exactly. Like it's not really, I'm gonna say it's my problem, but I don't really have a problem with it. But the problem I see with Rey in this movie is that even by the end of Star Wars, Luke had slightly more of a character build throughout the film. He didn't have much, but he had slightly more than what she gets.
I agree.
I like her as a character, but I cared more about the defected stormtrooper become Jedi than I did about her in this movie. All she wants to do is get back to Jakku.
Get back, because her family's coming to pick her up.
Yeah.
This is her whole, this is her whole arc. My family is coming for me someday. Yeah, I like her as an actress. The character is kind of a nothing character. It's a cheap wash on Luke.
Yeah.
And the only thing she really does is there's that little bit at the beginning when she's with Finn and he keeps grabbing her hand and trying to pull her along. She's like, stop it. Like, that's modern sort of, the heroine doesn't need the guy to pull her along. She's her own woman. And it's like, okay. And they drop that eventually pretty quickly. So I was like, and then there's the thing where she has the stupid thing on the Falcon. I can't remember what it's called, but there's a doohickey that Unkar Plutt installed in the Falcon that limits its I remember the
and she's
one who figures out how to like get rid of it because she's because there's stuff that's not in the movie. Like this is going to be a thing. There's stuff that's not in the movie about how she was repairing the Falcon for Ungar Plutt, which is why she knows it so well. Yeah. But why tell us that? Instead, let her be Magic Girl who knows how to fly the Falcon as good as Han Solo.
Yeah.
You know, like if you remember, Luke had to be told that the Force can have an effect on weak minds, whereas she just like, even though this thing that I've heard is just a vague myth is real, apparently I can use it to control people's minds and use it to do stuff that I never knew I could do.
I do like that scene.
It's a cute scene, but how does she even know to do that? And by the way, remember her whole thing before that was, oh, no, I don't want nothing to do with the Force.
With the Force, yeah. But she, I think that's after they find the lightsaber, right?
It is after they find the lightsaber. So they find the lightsaber, and then she freaks out and runs away. She wants nothing to do with the Force.
Right. I agree. But I think as she goes along, she realizes...
When? Because she gets captured by Kylo Ren right after that.
Right. That's when she realizes, oh, shit, I need to learn this supposed fake religion bullshit.
When she learn it?
We don't know how many hours that she had been sitting there.
Where did she learn it from? Oh, they have it on TV.
Well, we don't all need.
Oh wait, why do we have Jedi training videos on this monitor? Why do we do that? That was a mistake.
That guy over there, that guy is playing Galaga. He didn't think we would see him, but we saw him.
So, just complete side note, in my Avengers display, my Hello Carrier display, there's actually a little tiny Galaga video game, or console. So I have a little shield trooper playing Galaga. You know who that stormtrooper was, right?
Huh?
The guy that she does the mind trick on?
No.
Daniel Craig.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. All I can think of is, I think it was when they were doing... the Cowboys and Aliens media stuff, and he was on Kimmel. Daniel Craig is my Wookiee bitch now. Oh, God.
Daniel Craig's my Wookiee bitch now.
Daniel Craig is my Wookiee bitch now.
I've got a buddy of mine, Pecan Court Michael Wilson. We used to use that line all the time in other podcasts that we did years ago. And he did a speed up of him saying it. And it's just so hilarious hearing my buddy's voice in chipmunk sound saying, Daniel Craig is my Wookiee bitch now. Oh, God. Oh, boy. That's cool that. Hey, man, you know, you got to get whatever crossovers you can get, right? James Bond and all that good stuff and everything else. Can you imagine? James Bond in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's Poe Dameron.
No, I can't. Because Bond was created by Ian Fleming during World War II. And, you know, Star Wars is very influenced by World War II. I can imagine a spy story set in Star Wars. It would be a good, like, that's not exactly what Andor is. But, I mean, you know, there's elements of that.
Yeah,
I could see that. And, of course, the first James Bond movie I ever saw in the theater was Moonraker. So, I mean... which is basically like, hey, Star Wars made a lot of money. Let's put James Bond in space.
Yeah, exactly. We can put everybody in space now that Star Wars has made the money it's made.
But that's kind of, it wasn't Star Wars. You got to realize, because back then the thinking was, okay, Star Wars was the science fiction movie that made money.
Right.
So it's done. Like so it was Close Encounters that came out and made money. And they're like, oh. The genre has legs.
Yeah.
Because that's what scuppered the Star Trek movie. When Star Wars came out, and they were like, oh, like, they beat us to the punch, and now we can't do a movie, let's do a new TV show. And then Close Encounters came out, and they're like, oh, okay. Like, people will pay to go see science fiction movies. Let's do this movie again.
Yeah.
As someone who has actually met and had a meal with a Hollywood producer, never underestimate their stupidity. And I know that's arrogant of me to say, but oh my god,
it's true.
These guys come straight out of set. Like, imagine central casting for like a Larry David show about Hollywood, or can't remember the other guy, but like a very sarcastic version of a. But just imagine the guys that come straight out of central casting. I'm a Hollywood producer. I have arrogance and money and don't know shit about anything.
As much as I wanted to find out about Finn, I think the way that the writing did it, my note was, can we please get back to the action? Enough with this Finn backstory. Like, it took too long.
What backstory?
When he's, was he talking to, this was after, this is after they said, get you someone who can get the BB unit to the Resistance. It's when he is talking to Rey, I believe, about who he is and where he comes from and how he knows what he knows.
Okay, that's like a real quick scene, buddy.
It played a little long for me today when I watched the movie this morning. So the... I don't know. I understand they have too many characters, almost, but you got Finn, you got Poe, you got Rey.
Well, again, a funny story. Poe was supposed to die pretty early.
Right.
And they loved Oscar Isaac so much they kept him around.
Yeah. So that's where my thing comes in, where Finn lands or crashes. And
he's in an ejection seat.
Yeah, he's in an ejection seat, and he goes to the ship, and Poe's not there, and he assumes Poe's dead. And then all of a sudden, Poe just shows up 20 minutes later. Was there a line?
Yes.
There is a line.
He woke up at night, and he went back to the wreck, and couldn't find Finn.
Okay, that's right. Okay. Like I said, I like Poe as a character. He's
the Han Solo character.
Yeah, he's the Han Solo character, but he's the Han Solo character that actually will get in an X-Wing, not just sit in the Millennium Falcon.
Well, yeah, he's got Han Solo's sass. Luke Skywalker's heart. Yeah, attitude's the right word.
Yeah, and then he's got Biggs and Wedge's X-Wing piloting skills.
I bet Han could like run rings around people in an X-Wing. He's got the Falcon. So
yeah, I'm sure. And then we get to the big reunion. Oh God, I almost broke down because it's been 8 years.
It's been since 2018.
2016, I thought.
16. Okay, yeah, she died right after filming Last Jedi.
Oh,
she's on an airplane going back from leaving Britain.
But yeah, so seeing that, I was like, oh man, that was. Whew. But seeing the two of them, seeing the characters come back, and hearing the little bit of history over the last 30 years in continuity of them being parents and husband and wife finally and all this and all that. And the one thing I wrote down was, Leia, don't do that. Do what? Anything. I'm like, yeah, that's them.
That's See, them. Again, this is one of my knocks on the film is that, they have a line of dialogue that kind of covers it where it's like, you know, I went back to what I understood. And she's like, we both did. It's like, okay, then we just got robbed.
Yeah.
Of seeing Han and Leia together, of seeing them as a couple, of seeing this thing that was set up at the end of Jedi so that we could have, so that Han could be Han Solo and Leia could be Leia, the leader of people. And it's like, they're just the same characters again, like, except older. And it's just, you're robbed of that. And, you know, I know a lot of people are really bitter that we never got to see the three of them together. Personally, I'm a little but like I get it.
I mean, we've seen them in not necessarily the older selves of them, but we've seen them in photos
story wise, we want to see story wise play it together.
Yeah, that's very true. And I just looked it up. December 27th of 2016 is when Carrie had passed away. So it was
very close to the end of the year.
Yeah, hey, no, it's fine. But I love the two of them in this. I really, like, this movie made me want to, and I don't know, obviously, probably not much more. I don't think there's anything with, I don't remember. We'll find out in the next episode, folks. But, like, seeing this after this long time of only seeing the movie once 7 years ago, like, I want more of that. I want more of
everybody
Leia.
Did.
Yeah, everybody did. I want more of Leia, Han, and Ben. I want Ben to not be... follow his grandfather's footsteps. Yeah. The other lines I wrote down is, we'll get you there. Han, how? If I told you, you wouldn't like it. Because he knows every harebrained scheme he's ever had, she has never liked.
So I want to go on a little slight tangent, because there was another character that showed up in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's favorite C-3PO. And you might not have recognized him because of the red arm.
What? I probably remember.
That's literally a line from the movie. You might not have recognized me because of my red arm.
No, I know the line, but did they ever say, is there...
So in the movies, they did not. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. Like, this is the and I have a theory that this whole thing was kind of a cute little joke. Mm-hmm. But in the comics, he had an adventure and there was a robot with a red... There was a red robot and it got destroyed. So he, like, changed his arm to red to honor him,
mm-hmm.
which is stupid. But in the movie, he says, I've got to get my gold arm back. I've got to get my original arm back. He says that, which is weird if this is supposed to be a tribute to his friend. And at the very end of the movie, he's got his gold arm back. Like, because I paid attention. Like, the first time I ever did a podcast about this, the guy was like, oh, no, he still had a red arm at the end of the movie. I'm like, did he? No, he has a gold arm. My theory is that this was actually a very clever, subtle joke that Chewie had ripped his arm off. Because there's that famous, you know, droids don't rip people's arm off when they lose. Because right. He only gets the gold arm back after the Millennium Falcon shows up.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of imagine that this arm was lying around in a heap somewhere on the Millennium Falcon for 40 years. Because it looked, but technically, there's a comic that says he changed his arm.
Yeah.
For his buddy. And then I guess apparently, like, somewhere in the course of the episode, in the course of Force Awakens, he decided that his buddy was a dick and didn't need to be honored anymore. So he just changed it back for no reason. Yeah. Like, yeah. Just stuff like that drives me crazy. But I think it was a joke. I think I'm willing to bet that, like, Kasdan or whoever wrote the script if you ever heard this, he's going to be like, yeah, that guy gets it.
Exactly.
There's no other explanation.
Yeah, there's no specific explanation in the... Yeah.
That doesn't contradict itself.
Yeah, very true. And because we are on the search for the thing or the human or the whatever.
Oh, and speaking, there was another character that got reintroduced kind of around that time. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I hate about this movie.
Oh, no.
Is R2-D2's space coma. Oh, R2-D2 just went into a convenient coma the minute that Luke Skywalker disappeared. I hope it will someday end. Fuck this movie. I remember R2's space coma really made me angry the first time I saw it. But, like, it still irritated the crap out of me this time. Because it is entirely Deus Ex Machina. It is entirely plot. Like, if you wait. And what's funny to me is in the scene where Kylo Ren interrogates Rey.
Yeah.
He says, oh, we got the map from the Imperial Archives, except for the piece that's missing. Well, if you have the big, like, this is one of the things that makes this whole thing stupid.
Yeah.
If you've got the big map of the galaxy, and all you need is this one section that's missing, can't you kind of figure out what's missing?
Like,
I mean, I realize, well, okay, and here's the thing. I would make the argument space is big, but, like, J.J. Abrams doesn't understand that, as based in Star Trek and in this movie, because they look up at the sky and they see a solar system, God knows how many light years away, be vaporized.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so apparently Abrams doesn't understand that space is big.
Yeah.
Like just can't, and even if it is big, like how big is it that this one little section is missing? Like, can't you, like, because I mean they found Hoth base.
Yes.
Like, probed that all over the place. Like, you can't figure out where the fuck Luke is based on this a hole in the map. Why is this? Why? How did they get a hole? Like, how did the archives lose a hole in the map? The galaxy.
And I know it's a digital archive, but I'm thinking like old timey, like actual maps. And I know that's not what it is and whatever, fine. But like, I'm sitting there thinking, it's a Lego piece.
It
you
is.
Bastards.
It's just what it is a dumb Deus Ex Machina
mm-hmm.
puzzle piece for the mystery box.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and the movie won't work if anybody's smart or things work the way they're supposed to work. And imagine, you know, and it's just irritating.
Mm-hmm.
They have such low, like, either they have such low opinion of their viewers or such high opinion of their dumb little, ooh, we're going to keep Luke a mystery till the end. Well, we know who Luke is. We know who Luke, like,
Yeah, we know who he is. We don't know where he is. Yeah, what is the mystery here? And we'll get to that at the end, because I love how even though he knows what the Force is, how does he... I don't know. That's not how the Force works.
It's a cute line.
It's a cute line, and I love it. I really do. And then I like the thing right after it where Chewie walks by him. He's like, oh, really? You're cold?
Yes, that's cute. Again, there's a lot of cute little details in the movie.
Yeah.
And Ford is great. Ford shows up to act.
Absolutely.
Know? Which is great. Like, but it also makes the fact that he just kind of gets killed off summarily, it makes the lane. I mean, it's a good moment. It works, but it's just, I don't know. I feel, like I said, this time it's like a double. Like the first time it was underwhelming because it was basically Star Wars over again. This time it's like double because it's like, you know, like you really are aware of all the stuff that you're not going to get paid off, you know? Like, yeah. So you don't give it, I gave it a hard pass the last time because, you know, who knew? We're setting everything up. We got to do all the heavy lifting. We got to get people back on board after the prequels.
Yep.
You know, so, okay, we're sacrificing this movie for the benefit of the later movies. But I know now that there is no payoff for the later movies.
Yeah.
So it's like, then this is just bad and lazy and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Although they at least like, and then the one scene that didn't bother me as much this time around is when they blew up the New Republic. And it wasn't Coruscant. Did you know that? It's the Hosni system.
Yeah, it's the Hosni system. It was not Coruscant. Because we have to find a way to go back to the magical glowing city at some point.
Well, I mean, you know, it's at least it's a different location than fucking Tatooine or Jakku.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing. Hello, look. I'm fine with going back and maybe, you know, having a drink at Mos Eisley or wherever the fuck. I don't know. Whatever the hell.
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. Spaceport this, spaceport that. Han, I think Harrison did more pirate work in this movie than most of the other ones. All of his pirate adventures that we suppose that, like, you know, it's like, I got to go back to Jabba. I got to pay Jabba off. And then, as you know, and the audience knows at the end of that movie, there you go, kid. Blow it up. Go on so we can all go home. I like the lightsaber battle between Finn and Ren and then Rey and Ren, but I think I like the battle between Finn and Kylo more than Rey and Kylo.
Okay.
It's a cool lightsaber battle. I don't know.
Yeah, it was cool, but like, again, they go nowhere with, like, there's always this little hint of like, cause like when they're on Jakku, like, mm-hmm. Kylo Ren looks over at him and he's like, something's off with that guy. And then he's like, oh, it's that one stormtrooper from the village. And, you know, they always hinted that something was with Finn.
Yeah.
And they never go anywhere with it. Yeah,
that's the biggest problem is that he is the biggest okay. I know you're not, you like Transformers, but you're like, between the two of us, I probably
know. Yeah, between the two of us, definitely.
Between the two of us, I'm the Transformers guy, you're the Star Wars guy, I bow before your Star Wars knowledge, etc., etc. So, the matrix of leadership for the Autobots is essentially
I'm aware of it.
The biggest MacGuffin. One of the biggest MacGuffins in Transformers.
It's like a knife, right? Like, I saw
no.
the second Transformers. It's a knife.
No, it's not. Oh,
that was cruel of me, I'm sorry. I'm so very, very sorry.
That's like me saying the Death Star is a cookie jar. I mean, I know they made it a cookie jar, but
I would love it. Well, I would love a Death Star cookie jar, but it would not replace
one,
it. I
have
a cookie jar of Cookie Monster, so I would not replace it.
Oh, God.
Anyway,
my point is that
Matrix.
Finn is the biggest MacGuffin in this whole fucking movie because they don't do anything with him. At least they did something with the Matrix.
Well, he's not even a MacGuffin because they give it all to Rey.
Yeah,
And what's really sad is, did you ever watch, there was like, I can't remember if it was a commercial or it was just a video on YouTube of Boyega and one of his buddies, and the trailer was just hitting. Mm. And so they were watching the trailer for the first time. And I see when he turns on the lightsaber is in the trailer. And like, they just, you know, they're like a couple of dudes who like, yeah, they're so excited and they're jumping around and it's like, it's so badass. And it's like, dude, they did you dirty, my friend. Mm-hmm. I feel so bad because you go nowhere after that and it sucks. And it's just, it's heartbreaking because he's just, you need to watch. Well, you're not a big monster movie fan, so you might not like Attack of the Block. I don't think it's particularly violent or bloody or anything, but like, he's so talented.
I mean, I'll watch the movie. I mean, if it gets to a point where, like in Jurassic Park, when the T-Rex eats somebody, like somebody on the toilet and all that, I'll just look away.
Yeah, well, it's more like first of all, you can't really – the monsters are so cool because they're basically – I think they're like wolves or bears, but you don't know because their fur is not black. It's like negative. It's like they're just inky black voids.
Yeah, it's a blob. Yep.
But – their teeth are translucent. like when you see them about to bite somebody, you can see these glowing blue teeth. Ooh. They're so cool. It is such a good movie. It is an underrated gem that somehow snuck out, and I'm glad I saw whatever video I saw that mentioned it. So,
well, Attack of the Block coming to Studio 2009 sometime in 2025.
I'll do it. Dude,
no, I know that's the point. That's the freaking point, dude. Coming sometime in 2025 because the 2024 schedule is literally full. I can't move anything. Like, everything's pretty much set in stone for the end of this year. I get it. I understand your frustration with Coma R2. And I understand your frustration of, oh, he just kind of wakes up now. And
yes.
I like that he woke up. I wish he woke up earlier. I wish he woke up earlier in the movie. I wish we saw him early. Like, I would have loved to have had when they go to whatever planet it is, when she's like, I've never seen so much green in my entire life.
It's a good moment.
Yeah, no, it's a good moment. But that scene with her and BB-8, I wish R2 was somewhere there.
I wish, like, R2 was with fucking Luke.
Okay, yes, there's that. Why is he not? Exactly. Because
they needed the scene where R2 comes in and provides the rest of the map.
The map, right. Which, again, I mean, it's not... Okay, a lot of people, and you and I have talked about this, I forget where you stand, but a lot of people will chastise my opinion of R2-D2 had a jetpack. I fucking love that. Like, R2-D2 jets in Sith. I love that. Everybody's like, no, that's horrible. I'm like, no, it's not. It's cool. R2 is cool. Yeah.
I think the explanation is that Anakin tinkered with him. Probably. Which makes sense. And yeah. But the jets got destroyed during the end of Revenge of the Sith or something. I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
So I like R2 coming in and having these either badass or poignant moments to the movie. Otherwise, generally, I would have wanted him to come in earlier, like I just mentioned. But because they had to use him as the keeper of the map.
He's literally a Deus Ex Machina.
Yep, pretty much. Okay, final notes for me. Luke found no award ceremony and no end credit scene. Movie over.
So I have a question.
Yes.
When the shot of Luke, right?
Yes.
I've always believed that he's standing at a grave because there's this one weird little stone that's kind of curved and it's coming up out of the ground. And to me, I always thought at least until the next movie, I thought he was standing at a gravesite, somebody's grave. Thoughts? Opinions?
I could see that. But
keeping in mind, the next movie completely ignores everything undoes. That got set up. Okay, maybe it's just me.
I'm trying to think of whose grave it could be.
But whose grave could it have been? I don't know. Maybe we could have hired a writer who cared about Star Wars.
Exactly.
It could have been Mara Jade's grave. It could have been his kid's grave. Like,
yeah.
It could have been anything. Maybe it was Ray's mother's grave. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe it was. See, that's what they should. So to give her some story other than, I have to get back to Jakku. I am waiting on someone to come. I'm waiting on my family to return. Maybe, unfortunately, very sad, your family's not going to return because they're dead.
Well, they are. Or,
okay, yeah, but I'm saying, like...
Well, like, look, what's-her-face, Maz Kitana,
yep.
It literally tells her that. She says, you know they're never coming back.
Oh, that's... Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah, but like, again, I don't know what it is with this movie. It just seems like, even though I liked it, and the location that she finds Luke in, yeah, you would think
it's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. But I'm saying, like, those look to be, and I'm just using this as like Mayan as Tekken, they look to be some sort of ruins that you would find.
It's an actual site in Ireland, and those are actual, I think a lot of those structures are actual, the actual structures that are there that weren't built for the movie.
Right.
I mean, I say Celtic out of complete ignorance of the British Isles, because yeah. That's that's the wild people of the British Isles, as far as I know.
So I really want to put that name of that planet into Google.
Aktu.
God.
Which have people believe is the planet that was at the end of Acolyte. That
okay.
What's his name is creeping around on.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's interesting because there wasn't a single Porg on screen.
Yeah.
In Force Awakens, I mean, they had birds flying around all over the place, but they didn't have Porgs.
Yep.
So right there, like 0 out of 5 stars.
Now that you say the name of it, I'm like, oh god, kind of reminds me of a meme that's been going around this year.
Yes, I am aware of the meme.
Yes, and we are not going to go there because,
why not? I'm gonna put on my angry YouTuber Star Wars fan hat. Why not? Because that's what Kathleen Kennedy did to the entire Star Wars franchise. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh god. Overall, I liked the movie. I thought it was good.
I thought you were.
Go. Okay. Overall, I liked the movie as a whole, with a story that has holes in it. But overall, everything that's here, all of the nostalgia porn that's in this, is why I like this movie. I like the new characters, except the new characters aren't given enough because there's too much nostalgia porn in it.
Agreed.
I wish the new characters got more. Like there's a difference in being a subtle hint. Like the Star Destroyer at the beginning, when we see the thing, not in space, on Jakku, the crashed one. When we see
great images.
Yeah, great images, amazing images. And then this movie becomes a fight between the new characters and the old characters in the writing of how the plot goes forward or backward or upside down or inside out or outside in. It's kind of like the writer had a raspberry beret, but they didn't know what the fuck to do with it.
Kind you find in a secondhand store.
That's right. Kind you find in an R2-D2 store or something. Exactly. What are your overall...
You know, I'm thinking about it, and this is going to sound very hyperbolic, but it's almost the worst of all possible worlds because it is one of the best made bad films ever made. It is crafted so well. Like, just, and I keep talking about all these little details, all these little images, all these little moments with the characters. It's all so good, but it's in service of nothing. And the movie itself is just kind of disappointing and doesn't go anywhere. And it's worse now that we know where it doesn't lead to, you know? Like, yeah. We just said that bit about, like, my theory about Luke, the grave. And we're like, oh, my God, that could be – who could that be? And it's like, yeah, who could that be? Like, it's just frustrating. And then the nostalgia felt very baity. Like, I know Rogue One got criticized very heavily for being nostalgia bait. But I think it was appropriate because it was set during that time.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas this is – and it had new stuff. Like if you paid attention, it had new things.
Yep.
Whereas this is set 30 years later and it's got old things. And it's a well-done movie that's disappointing. And that's – like I said, I was frustrated watching this movie. I wasn't angry. I was just like, none of this is in service of anything worthwhile. And the sad, twisted irony of movie making is that the writing is the cheapest thing, and it's the thing they always skimp on.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just it's hard. It is really, you know, heartbreaking to me. And even I'm really gonna cross the line here. Ray's theme is a good theme. Like, I named my dog after Ray because of the theme, basically. Because I had a little basset hound, and the do do do. If you watch a basset hound walk, kind of fits. Mm-hmm. But the soundtrack, like the soundtracks for the sequel trilogy, are not that great. Like, I think John Williams, he's old, and I don't think they're as good. Like, that one theme was strong, but the soundtracks themselves are a little disappointing. Like, overall, I just feel frustrated and disappointed by this movie.
Yeah. We are, as I mentioned.
Oh, can I one more interjection?
Sure.
Because I got the art of Force Awakens, and they talk about one of the stories they were going to do, and that made me furious.
Oh no!
Because they were going to have Darth Talon. Do you know who that is? You're kind of a guy. Oh, Darth Talon is this sexy Sith, Twi'lek babe.
Okay.
Like, she wears this black bikini, and she's got like, you know, she looks like Darth Maul as a Twi'lek girl.
Okay.
And she was going to go around and seduce Luke's Padawans and murder them like a Bond movie. And I'm like, oh my god, why did we not do this? We got this other thing instead.
Yeah.
Never. My cardinal rule of failure as a storyteller is telling me you could have told a more interesting story.
Yep.
And I just, like, the movie was dead to me from the moment I was like, we could have had Darth Talon. Why? Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I don't know. As I've said before, we are going to do separate episodes, individual episodes
on each of the...
Each of the trilogies on the scores, on the music
on the scores,
itself. On the scores. So that way we can continue 12 months of Star Wars next year, at least for 3 episodes. Hopefully by next year, I forget when Skeleton Crew is supposed to release. I think they said... Anyway, it doesn't matter.
I think it's in, like, in the spring. It's early. Before Andor, so that's all I'm bitter and angry about.
Okay, so on our geek meter scale, Lord, with the way our descriptions are, I have to go with 3.5 out of 5, which is good, and good says a mixed bag, but the good stuff outweighs the bad. There might be one amazing element and lots of fun moments that make the flaws easier to swallow. They are not deal breakers, but they do hold it back.
I'm going to go 2.5. And the only reason I'm giving it 2.5 is I think there is a lot of good in it. Like Darth Vader. There's good in it, but it's like Darth Vader is also mostly bad.
Yeah.
Like it's disappointing. Like they had everything. Like you know, it's not like you go, well, if they'd had more of a budget, if they had more time, if they had this, if they had that. I mean, they had everything.
Yep.
And this is what we got.
Yep.
So no, 2.5 is generous. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I. Hey, it's
no, your choice. I'm defending it against myself. Like, I was like, you know, there's a lot that I like. It looks good. Like the effects are like literally to me amazing. Like it looked like the Millennium Falcon was flying around over a planet. Like not blue screen. Like it looked like a real Millennium Falcon was really flying. Abrams is really good at like the cockpit shots of the fighters. It looks like they're really in a cockpit. The effects look great.
Mm-hmm.
It looked great. All those little details. Kylo Ren punching his side. The janky lightsaber. Harrison Ford came to play. Like, there's a lot that's good, but that makes me dislike the movie more because it's in service of nothing, and that's heartbreaking. So yeah, 2.5. 2.5 is generous.
Would we recommend this film to people?
You're asking me?
Yes, I'm asking.
No, seriously, skip the sequel trilogy. Yeah. You don't need it. You don't need it. Until they do the 10th movie with Rey, you do not need the sequel trilogy. And if they never do it, then you never need the sequel trilogy.
Well, they better do something quick, because they need money.
And
well, okay, they need money, so like throw another $200 million after.
But I'm saying like they need to do something. Yes, they have to spend money to. Well, you got to spend money to make money, even if you're in debt. Unfortunately, I know that's not how it works, but it's just one of those things where Star Wars right now in 2024 needs something to
let it die.
That or bring it back to. I don't know.
Okay, nobody wants. Like, the problem is the people running it don't want to do that. They don't want to make they don't want to make a good Star Wars because Star Wars is icky and it's a boys' property and we want to do this DEI nonsense and be inclusive and blah blah blah. Hey, the only thing that's good out of it is Andor, and I'm really worried that they, because of all the praise of Andor, that the people at the top notice it now. But before it was just this weird dumb little thing that they let them do without paying attention, and it was brilliant. And now that now that people are talking about it, it's like, well, now we want to get involved.
Yeah.
No, please don't touch my Andor. Please. All I have to look forward to.
That note, we're going to go to a quick podcast ad break, and we'll come back to close the show, pay tribute to the life of James Earl Jones, and all that other good stuff. We'll be back right after this.
Grab your helmets, because it's time to assemble Mask. Mask Mayhem is here with your hosts, TFG and Mike, Optimus Solo, and brand new host, Toon Master Tim. This podcast, covering all 75 episodes of Mask, will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. Mask Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. So get your spectrums ready, as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
Do you like the Transformers?
Yes.
Do you like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Cowabunga!
Do you like IDW comics?
And comic book podcasts?
Then come check out Ninjas and Bots. Each week we look at an issue of Transformers
or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from their IDW comics incarnation. We drop episodes every Saturday morning.
Just like the cartoons we loved as a kid. The show can be found on your favorite podcatcher and at johnreadscomics.com.
See you then.
We brought the entire convention center to the brink of an intergenre geek war.
Okay, Michael, if we're going to tackle this podcast thing, we've got to do something really special. It has to be cool, daily, in audio form, and undetectable by radar. Something that screams summer. I know, let's do a Phineas and Ferb review podcast. We'll call it the Podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym, or PALCA for short. What do you think?
I think if we're not careful, Candace is going to bust us.
You can find PALCA on the GeekCast Radio Network, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and all of the other methods you find podcasts.
We'll give you the whole seat, but you'll only need the head.
All right, folks, we are back here on episode 104 of Studio 2009, and sadly, even though at 93 years old, he lived an amazing life, sadly, James Earl Jones passed away recently in the last couple of months. By the time you people are hearing this, in December of 2024, so I'm specifically calling this out that we recorded this literally, a week after he died.
Not even a week. It's been like only 2 days, hasn't it?
Really? Oh, boy. Now I gotta look.
Sorry.
Anyway, I love Darth Vader, but what other things do you remember Mr. Jones from?
Sarek the Preparer.
What's that?
The Simpsons. He was in the first Halloween episode.
Right. That's right. That's right.
He was Sarek the Preparer, and they made him cry. he was in Dr. Strangelove. He was in an episode of one of my favorite TV shows is Homicide: Life on the Street. He was in a guest star on that, and I was like, ooh. And of course, the irony. Poor Disney can never catch a break. Mufasa, right? And now they're the big Mufasa movie is coming out, and we'll see how that. Yeah, that's going to play out.
Yep. Whoops.
I bet they embarrass themselves making like a big tribute to James Earl Jones.
They're probably going to do that. He passed
away. Even though he's not in the movie.
Yeah. At the time of recording, September 12th, 2024, even though you won't hear this until December of 2024, he passed away September 9th. So literally 4 days ago.
Yeah.
Patriot Games in 92.
He was in biggest thing out between Star Wars, the original trilogy, and 1993. 93 was The Sandlot. He was Mr. Merle. He was the neighbor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
George signed this? You knew George? Yeah, I knew George. I used to crowd the plate. He used to hate. Pitchers always hated. Oh, I love The Sandlot. Absolutely love The Sandlot. I forgot he was the narrator in Judge Dredd, which turns 30 years old next year.
Ask me the Stallone one, then. Wow.
Yeah. Yep. The Stallone one. He was in Gang Related. He was in Fantasia 2000. He was in Robot. I mean, he's got a lot of voice roles besides.
Oh, just, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's wacky.
I mean, he's got one of the best voices in the world.
And the irony is he had a bad stutter as a kid, and he overcame that.
Yeah, he overcame it. I guess I forgot that. Oh, that's wrong.
Bro.
No.
Want to share with the group? This is not a visual.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm spoiling... myself on films to come. He voiced Emperor Palpatine, but it's impersonating Darth. So it's Ian McDiarmid, but he's impersonating, and James did the voice role for the impersonation. His final role for movies and was Coming to America. He was King Jaffe, final film role in 2021. So he retired 3.5 years ago. Wow.
At the tender age of 90.
Yeah. Well, hey.
If you can keep going. But
absolutely.
Like my thing is, I have a hard time getting all bent up. If someone makes it past like 70, it's like you had a good run, man.
And the final thing outside of the movies, the final thing in television that he did was, so literally he fully retired 2 years ago. He did 4 episodes of Vader in Obi-Wan.
Yes.
So that's the true final role for Mr. James. I love the guy. He was always so cool, so great. I know people say this, that they don't like the big, every time he showed up in The Big Bang Theory, I loved it.
I hate the Big Bang Theory on principle, but I will say that by all accounts, he was a very nice man.
Mm-hmm.
Because some famous people don't like fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that, but like he was very kind to his fans.
Yeah,
he seemed like a very good person. And from that standpoint, like less than the celebrity or the icon thing.
Yeah.
I am sad that a good person is gone from the world because we need as many as we can get these days.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Normally you find clips on YouTube of scenes from whatever it is. And the clip I found of his second appearance on The Big Bang Theory when he came back to do a second guest role is it's him and Sheldon, Jim Parsons, and they are sneaking off together to someone's house, and they're gonna ding dong ditch.
I've seen the still.
Yeah. Okay, so the clip that I found was the behind the scenes version of the clip. So you see the clip, but in between seeing the clip, you have some of the producers of The Big Bang Theory talking about what it was like having him on set, having Carrie on set. And one of the things they say, and I'll send you this clip, not because I want you to see the scene, it's because I want you to hear what the producer, even though I'm saying it now. One of the first things, when they first came on set, she said to him, "Dad!"
Aww.
Because, hello, you know. Which is so freaking cool. So that's the
by,
that's
by awesome. The way, we have to say, because we'll get in trouble, Field of Dreams.
Yep.
And Tulsa Doom from Conan the Barbarian.
And the Marine, yep.
Yeah, I mean, we got to get those in there. Jeez.
Yeah.
Take away our nerd cards.
I know, right? Yeah, Field of Dreams.
Exorcist to the Heretic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was the guy in Africa. I'm sorry, he was.
He was. And one thing I forgot that I shouldn't have forgot that I remember so much now, because I remember when he took it over, because literally somebody shared a picture of it the other day, whenever it was. He came in, and say what you will about the star of this series and how crazy this person is today. This person is nuts. About as nutty as Tom Cruise is, Mr. Dean Cain. Say what you will about him personally. But Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, James Earl Jones as Franklin Stern came in and bought the Daily Planet. And there was my buddy Michael Bailey shared a picture of the scene of Lane Smith playing Perry White and James Earl Jones playing Franklin's. I'm like, holy crap, that's amazing, because I had forgotten that he was on that one episode of Lois and Clark. But yeah, I'm probably going to go back and watch. I haven't seen Field of Dreams in years. It's been so long. Oh my God, 89. I got to find a way to fit it in the schedule. God damn it. Well, it's 35 freaking years, man.
I get it. I'm just laughing at the, I got to get it on the, that's a crushing schedule. It taunts me.
Yep, absolutely. But yes, Field of Dreams. I absolutely love that. So fun. All right, folks, I think that's going to do it for us. You can find me on social media pretty much everywhere at TFG and Mike. Dave is pretty much nowhere. He doesn't do social
media. Waldo. I don't want to be found.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I am at TFG and Mike Presents on Instagram. We are working on getting Steve Megatron to record new outro stuff, so that's why I'm doing this little thing here instead of my whole spiel, because I've been told my spiel is kind of too long, but it is what it is. Next time around, in episode 105, we are going to be discussing Star Wars, episode 8, The Last Jedi.
Wait, just 8? So we are splitting them up? I thought we were going to do the last two together.
Yeah, we'll record them together, but they're going to come out separately.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I see.
So,
I see, yeah. I see, Sir Luke.
Yes, yes. Yes. 12 Months of Star Wars, Episode 8, The Last Jedi. For now, I am TFG and Mike with...
Dave Draper.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.